Hello, everyone, and welcome again to another episode of M365 Voice. My name is Mike Marani.
I'm Sarah Hazzi.
And I'm Antonio Maya.
A couple of episodes ago, I think we talked about accessibility in Microsoft 365, and we promised you that we're going to come back to it because there are so many topics that we can cover, mostly Sarah can cover, in accessibility in M365. So today will be a V2 or volume number two for accessibility. There's a lot to talk about, like we mentioned before. Just a reminder, I think from the past episodes, we talked about closed captioning in Teams meetings. We talked about transcriptions. We talked about immersive reader and inline translation as well.
And my favorite, the profanity filter.
Oh, yes, the profanity
in your captions for Teams meetings. Yes. I call That's that fun. My mom's feature.
So we are going to talk a little bit more topics about accessibility. So, Sarah, what are you going to surprise us today?
I love talking about accessibility. I've been telling people it's been my favorite thing to present on in the last year. And I think that the audience for these accessibility features, in terms of people that I see going to conferences or engaging on it, are small, but I think people are amazed when they think about some of these features and how to use them in their day-to-day work life. So that's going to be the goal today. So I thought that we could review some accessibility features that I describe as ease of use features, meaning that they're kind of about your computer experience, your work experience, and how you engage with documents, with your computer, and how you approach work. So I call them ease of use features, is I think what we're going to talk about today.
Okay.
Awesome. So hopefully there will be some new ones that you haven't used or haven't seen before. So the first one that we're going to take a look at is called the focus feature. It is a Windows 11 feature. So for everybody that's got Windows 11 out there. And the idea behind it is that it's really meant to help you minimize distractions. It will block any alerts or notifications that you have on your PC. So like your Teams notifications, if you got email notifications, if you've got sound effect notifications, all of those will be blocked. It also eliminates pop-ups when you're in a focus session. So it's going to hide your badge notifications. It's going to block your pop-ups and your sounds. And it integrates with the clock app that's in Windows 11. So let me go ahead and share my screen here
And Sarah, is this specific to Windows 11?
Yeah.
You need Windows 11 to have it.
Yes. Okay. So yes, it is specific to Windows 11. All right. So let me know when you can see my screen.
We're good.
Your Spotify list.
What?
Your Spotify list.
It's a pretty diverse playlist here. So I am in the clock app. Now on my computer, I don't want to show you everything that I have here, but I have actually pinned the clock app. You can find it underneath your settings and wherever you have your programs as well. But I have pinned the clock app because I actually use this focus session all the time. So you can also just search in the bottom for focus session or clock in your search box, and it'll pop up this app. So this is built into Windows 11, and it enables you to focus on a few different things. First, you can say, get ready to focus, right? You can set the duration of time that you want for this focus session. I like to use this because sometimes I'm heads down working on a presentation, and I know that I have a meeting in 47 minutes. So I'm going to set a timer for 45 minutes, meaning that way I can focus without having to think about what time I need to come out of that. And the system will automatically let me know when the 45 minutes is up, right? So you can set whatever time you want. You can also say that you're gonna take breaks during it, or you can say skip breaks. I just wanna work for the entire 30 minutes, for example, without having it suggest that I take a break. It connects to-do, so you can select specific tasks or tasks that you want to work on during this focus session, and you can add more tasks from to-do as well. You can track daily progress in terms of how many focus cycles that you've done on any given day. You can see yesterday, you can see a streak of how many days you've done it for. And then it automatically also can hook up to your Spotify playlist. Now, of course, this depends on whether or not your organization will allow you to log into Spotify from your Windows device. You can choose a different Spotify playlist to play for your focus time. So you can see that I've got a deep focused Spotify playlist here that I've selected. When I click on start a focus session, if everything works perfectly, it's actually going to take me, and you can hear, can you hear that it's automatically playing my Spotify playlist? Yeah. And it also starts that countdown timer. So it's automatically going. I can pause it. When I hit pause, it's going to automatically stop the Spotify playlist. If I had gotten to my full 30 minutes that I have on the clock, it would have stopped my playlist from going at that 30-minute point. So I love it because I only use this playlist in my Spotify when I'm using this particular feature. And I love using it because literally when the music stops, so do I, because that's my wake up alarm, is that music stopping in the background. So I have the ability to kind of really focus on just what's going on.
Wow.
That's very
cool. Have you ever used that before? Yeah. Or is this a new one?
No, I didn't know that that was there. And that's just from the clock, the Windows 11 clock.
It's just from the Windows 11 clocks. You can get there. You can go to... tap on your Windows key, go to settings and focus, or you can open up the clock app or search for the clock app, and it's built into Windows 11.
That's very cool.
Now, I will be honest, I absolutely love this. The one thing that I sometimes have issues with is sometimes it wants to launch the Spotify app on my computer, and sometimes it starts playing a playlist that I don't, that is not my focus playlist. And I don't know if that's just an idiosyncrasy on my PC, but when I want to go into a focus session, I want that playlist. If it's not that playlist, then it's not focus time. So I love it because it has that integration. You don't have to play music. You can have the focus time and the countdown timer and all that without music if you are a non-background. But I like it because it puts me into the zone of focusing on specific things.
When the timer expires on your focus session, does the music automatically go off?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Which is my wake up.
That's pretty cool.
Come out of the zone to focus on things. So like I said, I like to use it, especially when I know that I have a meeting coming up, but I want to get into a flow, into not a workflow, but into the flow of work without having to think about what time it is. And I use it for that.
I like it just for that, because like, I don't play music while I'm working because I'm on so many calls that I'm worried that I'm going to start a call and, oh, I forgot to turn the music off. And that, you know, connecting it to your music to get you into the flow of work and then to be able to automatically turn it off when that session time is done is very cool.
Yeah. So I like that one.
Nice.
That's very cool. I like it. Yeah, I'm going to use it.
You're going to have to try it out and then come back and tell us what you think. Most people that I talk to about that one have no idea that it's there. So the next one is also a Windows 11 feature, and this one is called the color filters feature. So this enables you to change the color scheme that you have for photos and colors across your screen. So you can do anything from grayscale to different color schemes. So let me go ahead and share my screen again. And... we will take a look at this one. So this one is when you go into settings. I'm just in settings in Windows 11, and I go to accessibility over here on the left, and then color filters. It's just above kind of the halfway point in the accessibility list. So color filters are off by default. If you turn it on, you suddenly then have the ability to set all of these different kinds of color filters. And if you are colorblind, I've got people in my family that are colorblind, so they have problems with very specific types of colors, you can go ahead and set your computer to be able to reflect what makes it easier for you to be able to see. You can also do everything in a grayscale if that's more comfortable for your eyes or enables you to see better. Grayscale inverted. So I know a lot of people like the dark mode, and boy, I do not, but you can also just do a plain inverted. So you have the ability to do all of this, and then you can turn on keyboard shortcuts for the color filters so you can toggle things on and off more easily. What do we think of this one?
I think that's great for people who have challenges with color blindness, like you said, your example that you used.
I did not know about this as well, and I have two of my sons are colorblind on the red-green side.
Really?
So I'm going to ask them to try it out.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. I thought that this one was pretty neat. So, all right, so that is color filters. So now we have looked at two. Should we do another one?
Yes, let's do it.
These next ones that are ease of use are, I kind of bundle them into reading things out loud to me from my computer or dictating things on my computer. So they kind of go together. And during the last podcast episode where we talked about accessibility, we went into Immersive Reader, which is, I think, a very sophisticated immersive reading experience, just like it sounds, or you can have it read things from your Edge browser, SharePoint, Teams, email, all over. And it's a very sophisticated reader. The first thing that I'm going to actually show here is a much less sophisticated version of that called a read aloud. This is not new, certainly not Windows 11 required. So if I have, in this case, I have a Word document up, as you can see, it's the schedule from the most recent M365 Twin Cities. It just happens to be a document that I had open. So when I come into this particular document, if I go up in Microsoft Word to the review tab up at the top of the page and you click on read aloud, you can actually have your system read what's available. And I think I shared my screen without sharing the sound. So hold on for 1 second. Let me actually share it so that you can hear it. Okay, now let me try this one more time. Okay, so now hopefully you can hear it when I click on read aloud.
M365 Twin Cities, November 11th.
You can hear it?
Oh, yes.
So
that was good.
Registration / check-in.
Slow. Here's the problem with this read aloud feature. On the one hand, it's great because you can speed it up or you can slow it down. The biggest problem with this read aloud feature is the user interface, because I don't know if you saw when I turned it on, nothing seems to happen for about a second and a half. And then you get this tiny little set of icons in the upper right-hand corner, which is how you control it. It doesn't have any kind of a color display behind it. It doesn't have any kind of a shaded box behind it. And literally, I couldn't even see it. I couldn't even find it. It started reading things off to me and I had no idea where the controls were or how to pull it up. Does that make sense? So if I close this again and you literally click on read aloud, it's like completely invisible the way that it just pops up over here.
Correct. If you did not point it out, I would not have noticed it.
Yeah. What do the arrows do? Do they move to the next word or speed it up or slow it down?
40 yep. Rules of engagement.
It basically moves to the next word.
H17.
Yep. And then you also have the ability in settings here. You can either have very sophisticated, a male voice or a female voice. And you can set your reading speed, kind of a tortoise and hare kind of a thing. But that's it. Like this is, you don't have multiple language choices. And I think that the biggest problem is where they embed these icons over here. It took me 5 minutes to find it when I was looking for it because I couldn't figure out how to control it or turn it off or pause it. So I think that's the biggest problem in the update, but it works really well at reading to you out loud, if that's what you want.
You can't select which text you want it to read, like select a paragraph in the middle and tell it to start reading there, can you?
Let's see. Can we select Mike's session here and say read aloud? Let me try that one more time.
Deep dive into Microsoft Teams channel.
Ooh, extra feature so I had not tried.
Okay, so it starts where you very selected. Cool.
So the ways that I use read aloud, I do have a problem with paying attention to a long, nosy email. If I need to read or digest an email that is lengthy, and I don't think I'm going to have the focus to be able to sit down and read it off my screen, I like using read aloud to do things or immersive reader within Outlook to be able to read that to me while I'm doing something with my hands. So I can pay much better attention while folding laundry, emptying the dishwasher, and having something read aloud to me than I can reading it off the screen. So I like it for use cases like that. Certainly, if you are having an issue, you know, any kind of an eye issue. I had pink eye a couple of weeks ago, right? And my eyes hurt, right? So read aloud is going to be great to be able to help spare you that if you just want to be able to not have to focus and read it on the screen.
Well, I can think of a bunch of scenarios for people with dysgraphia that this could really help with. So we have family member with dysgraphia, which is very specifically the mechanics of reading and then writing back. Mm-hmm. And where, you know, reading a paragraph, the person will see the same word and read it differently every single time they see the word. So this can really help with that, because at least in our case, the person is much more an auditory learner than actually reading stuff. So it can really help from an accessibility standpoint there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this one I really like.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if those controls were a little bit more highlighted, a little easier to find.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Even bigger, a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the next one that I was going to show was a couple of options. I'm just going to go ahead and start a new blank document here. Was a couple of options to be able to go and be able to dictate or to be able to do voice typing. So this would be basically I talk and then it goes ahead and transcribes what I'm saying into typing on my computer. So the most simplistic version of this feature that's been around for some time is called voice typing. And this one is a keystroke to be able to start. It does require an internet connection and a working microphone. But if you go ahead and type in, press your Windows key and H, Windows key H, and it will go ahead and start this voice typing. So if I go ahead and once it finishes worrying and sets up here and it says it's listening, then as I talk, it's actually going to go through and transcribe what I'm saying.
Very accurate.
And it even says what you're saying, Mike. It even listens to you. Wow. Who would have thought?
Wow. I like it already.
So voice typing, you can also use common commands. So I can say something like new line and it will jump down to a new line.
Cool.
I can also say things like Mike is great. Delete that.
I don't like that.
So I like the voice typing feature. It also has some settings that are available here. So if you click on settings, you can have it enter in things like automatic punctuation, select your microphone, different things like that. So it's a good feature for if you just want to be able to talk and go through in a fairly simple way. I think it works pretty well.
This is great.
Thoughts on this one?
Again, cases where people have dysgraphia, this would be fantastic for. We had tried lots of the natural before this, like a few years ago, tried lots of the natural language processing systems at the time, and they were okay. They were clunky. But this feels, you know, the fact that this and the read aloud are completely integrated into Office and looks mm-hmm. fairly accurate, it feels like a much a solution that's come a long way in the last few years.
Yeah, it's very accurate.
Yeah,
I really like it. And remember, the way to start that is Windows key H is the keystroke that I use. The one hard part about that, and I'm going to be honest, is that you have to like memorize the keystroke. Some of the common commands are entirely vocal, meaning that that's great for when you're dictating to text. But then I have to remember those things. If I'm not using them all the time, I might not have them in my fast recall. Another option for you is when you're working in Microsoft Office tools, on the home tab up at the top, you can see that we have a dictate button. Yeah. And this is Office dictation. This does require you to be signed into Microsoft 365, also requires an internet connection and a working microphone, right? But this one is more sophisticated. So if I go in and start typing, I like the fact that it gives me an audible sound when it starts. And the fact that it also lights up in the same area that the read aloud did, but the fact that it's got the kind of pulsating blue button for the microphone, I was able to kind of see it and track to it right away. And it's got, frankly, a much nicer interface in terms of settings, where you can set up different elements. And in fact, you can even do different spoken languages and preview languages of your text. So it's a much richer set of features, which is no doubt why it requires an M365 license to use.
Go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say, then when you used it, I turned it on here and I was watching your screen and my screen. It's very, very accurate. Whatever is typing in your document is typing exactly the same thing in my document. It's pretty cool.
So that I didn't realize at first that dictate button is different than the Windows H feature that you first said. These are two different dictation features.
Two different features. And I don't know if you've noticed, but as when I used the Windows H, the read aloud feature, when you, Antonio, and Mike talked, it dictated. When I'm using the dictate feature, it did not. So if you try saying something else, I think it won't dictate.
Yeah, it didn't look like it was dictating.
Correct.
Might have done
it
a little
bit. Didn't capture it.
Huh. Yeah, so this is really interesting in terms of the feature differential, and some of this could be personal preference and what people like to use. There is the ability, again, an extensive list of verbal commands that you can use with dictating documents as well. There is, I like the fact that it's got the help icon right there, so you can look that up and learn some of those commands.
And you said this dictate feature requires an M365 license.
And you have to be signed in. Not only do you have to have a license, you have to be signed in with an internet connection and a working mic.
And then the other Windows H feature, I'm not sure, I can't remember what you called it, but that just required an internet connection.
And a microphone, that's it. Yeah, but no Microsoft 365 license.
Cool.
Wow.
Nice. These are fantastic features.
This is awesome. This is so cool. I've learned a couple of new features here that I did not know that existed.
So many of these accessibility features are just really interesting when you stop to think about the kind of difference that they can make in the way that you work. And here's the thing. Some of it might impact the way that you work every day, and sometimes it might impact the way you work some of the time in certain circumstances. And I think about things like the dictation and the read aloud in terms of how I absorb information and whether or not there might be times where I have carpal tunnel. And if my hands are really hurting, right, this dictation would be an excellent way for me to be able to get a lot of content out without having to type it up. So it can be useful every day or when you need it.
Kind of the one thing I wanted to add to accessibility, like this, these features that you're showing are so important from just making Microsoft 365 and Office 365 more inclusive for everyone, right? Mm-hmm. To support people that need ease of use features, that have some sort of accessibility challenge and allow them to participate and contribute the way other folks do. And Microsoft, we've seen Microsoft put a ton of effort into these kinds of features in the last few years. We, as part of some of the projects that we do, we often need to refer back to the accessibility conformance reports that Microsoft puts out. So all of the features and products that Microsoft puts out, they put a lot of effort into complying with the standards out there, like 508 accessibility in the US, WCAG, I think AODA in Canada. I think that's a Canadian standard. And they publish reports around all of these things. So that's another good resource to look at. They call them the accessibility conformance reports. If you need to validate if the features and products conform with accessibility standards out there.
Love it. That was a very lovely sessions, actually. I really enjoyed it. Learned a lot of things. Hopefully our audience also learned. Thank you both. Thank you, Sarah. It was very insightful. And we'll see you next time.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.